Okay, Be'ezah Hashem, we are now starting Parshas Truma. Today's date is Chav Zayin Shvat Tov Shinayin Ches, corresponding with the English calendar, February 12th, 2018. And we're going to begin the Parshas Truma and dwell on one particular aspect. We begin with the Parsha on page 446 in the Art Scroll Chumash in Pasuk Yud, where this is the beginning of constructing the Mishnah, the Mishkan. But I would like to draw your attention to the last Pasuk, the Pasuk in Pasuk Tes on page 444, which is kind of the introduction to the building of the Mishkan. The Torah tells us, after it lists the different elements, supplies that were necessary to the building of the Mishkan, the Torah states, "V'asu li mikdash v'shachanti b'soicha," and you shall make for me a sanctuary in order that I may rest in its midst. This is a famous pasuk when the Torah tells us, "Make for me a Mishkan." And the commentaries dwell on the wording by saying, "Make for me a mikdash in order that I shall dwell amongst them." It should be besocho, in its midst. It seems to be that the wording is strange and it begs for a commentary.
Say that again.
If the Torah says, "V'asu li mikdash," yeah, "Make for me a sanctuary," "V'shachanti v'socha," literally, "in order that I shall dwell among them," it should say, "among it." I make, in proper English, would say, "among it, I would make for me a sanctuary, so I shall dwell in it." Yet the Torah doesn't say that. "In order I should dwell among them." So the question is, what is the Torah telling us? This is not how we speak. We're changing the person
into them.
Yeah. From singular to plural. So the Mephoshim explained to us that when the Torah says, "Make for me a mikdash," "make for me a sanctuary," in order that I am to dwell in all of you, make your heart, make your soul, make your person, each individual, make it worthy for God's presence. God's presence should be able to dwell in each individual, so that each individual can become a sanctuary. So everybody has the potential of carrying the Almighty with him, and that he will have God's presence with him, and wherever he goes, he can make a Kiddush Hashem. Just like the Mishkan, the sanctuary in the desert, whoever came there who saw a Kiddush Hashem. But this is our goal, and we begin the parasha of building a Mishkan, meaning building ourselves. And the Mikdash is a microcosm of the human being. The human being and the Mikdash work together. And therefore, when the Torah says, "Let's build them a Mikdash so that I can dwell in the Mikdash," it says, "Let's build yourselves into such a person that I may be able to dwell in you." And that begins Parshas Truma. We're going to go to the next page, Pasuk Yud, and it talks about the following. The first vessel that was told to Moshe to build was the Aron, was the Ark. The Aron where the tablets were to be placed. Now let's read the Pasuk, and we're going to notice an interesting an interesting word. Va'asu aron atzei shittim, and they shall make an aron out of shittim wood, and the size should be amosayim v'chetzi orko, 2.5 cubits should it be its length, va'amo v'chetzi rochbo, and 1.5 cubits its width, va'amo v'chetzi kaimasai, and 1.5 cubits its height. The question over here is that all the other vessels, it never said va'asu, and they shall make. It always said va'asisa, and you shall make. Hashem is talking to Moshe to be the engineer, so to say, be responsible, or the supervisor, to see that the engineering is done correctly, and always in the first person. Va'asisa, and you shall make. And here, when it deals with the Aron, when it deals with the Ark, being the place for the tablets, for the Torah, there it says in plural, and they shall make a Ark of Atzei Shittim. Why is this so? So, Mefarshim explains, the Chofetz Chaim dwells on this in detail, to explain to us that the Torah is where the Ark was its base, was not meant to be for one person. Not one person should be able to say, oh, I am privileged and not you. I will give more funds and therefore I feel I have a greater share in the Torah more than you. At the very inception, the Torah is telling the Jewish people that it's everybody's commodity. Everyone has a piece of Torah. Everyone has a part of Torah. Everyone has a share in Torah. And therefore, everyone should be able to claim that he is a builder. He has a partner in the construction of the Ark, of the Aron, in order that no individual should ever say that he is more entitled than another person, because every Jew is entitled. The Torah is the kinyan, is the possession of all of the Jewish people. And nobody should think he has more than any other person than themselves. He is equal to everybody else. There's a story about the Chofetz Chaim, where the Chofetz Chaim, when he built his Beis HaMedrash, he got a donor, a wealthy man, who is prepared to say, I'll build the Beis HaMedrash. I'm prepared, I have the funds, let me build the Beis HaMedrash. The Chofetz Chaim says, I permit you to build and pay for one wall. The rest, I want the rest of the community to chip in and to participate. I don't want it ever to be said that you feel that you have more of a part, more of a place in this Beis Medrash than any other Jew. And he refused to take a donation that would cause him to build the entire Beis HaMedrash. Just to show you the Chofetz Chaim's understanding.
Well, you mentioned day, that's the Ark, but then it goes into singular after that.
Exactly. When the Ark was commanded to be built, everybody has a portion. That was the whole question, because everything is said in singular, and when it came to making the Ark, it was in plural, to show that everybody has an equal share in building the Ark, and essentially, and in learning and gaining from the wealth of Torah.
So the U is really referring to them also. But to play on
you're right. But Hashem again is directing his words to Moshe Rabbeinu.
Okay.
But he's referring to all of the Jewish people to be a part of it. We're all familiar with the pasuk we say every morning, just to show you to what extent that we are all part of the building and the support of Torah. We say in the morning, Torah tziva lanu Moshe morasha kihilas Yaakov. Torah that Moshe Rabbeinu commanded us, tziva lanu Moshe, Morasha is an inheritance of the congregation of Yaakov. That's a very, very powerful and very, very important pasuk that we say every morning. Torah is an inheritance, but the way the Torah is inheritance, it can only be an inheritance for the Jewish people to be handed over to the next generation if you yourself have acquired the Torah. You see, it's not that in Hebrew it could have said Yerusha. Yerusha also means inheritance. But a Yerusha is only something, if you own it, you can give it over. If I have a chair, I can inherit it to my family. If I have a house, I can inherit the house to my family. If I don't have a house, obviously I can't inherit that to my family, right? Torah Tzivolonu Moshe is a Morasha Kilas Yaakov. It is an inheritance providing you become the possessor of the Torah so it could be inherited to the family. Unless you possess the Torah by learning the Torah, then you could give that over to the family and that next generation will continue the fire of Torah and continue on to other generations. But where the Torah is not a Mirasha, meaning if a person himself isn't learning the Torah and isn't interested in acquiring the Torah and does not possess the Torah, then it's not a chair that you can hand it over. It doesn't belong to you to give over because it's not, you didn't possess it. So Torah is more than just an inheritance. It's an inheritance with a charge on each individual. The Torah is telling us that you should inherit the Torah and give it over to the next generation, but first you have to possess it. By you possessing the Torah, then you can give it over to the next generation. This is what my Rosh Yeshiva, Rav Mordechai Gifter, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, explained to myself. I was in the shul and I heard this, that one should not think that Torah is just given over to the other generation because I'm a Jew in heart, or that I give tzedakah frequently, or that I honor the rabbis. It might be all very good and well, but it's not a Mirasha if you yourself have not possessed it to give it over. I once said this over a few weeks ago. A Talmud of mine, I actually met him today. Unfortunately, he's divorced, and he's having trouble with his children, trying to inspire them into learning and so forth. And I took him aside. I said, you know, I'll tell you something. You can inspire your children to want to learn Torah and to love Torah. I asked him, do you learn? So I go to the Daf Yomi. Of course I learn. Does your children ever see you learn? He stops and he thinks. He says, no. They never see. Because I'm always out of the house, I want to share. But if they never see you learn, where will they get to know that learning is important? Just to know that dad goes to a shir, that's an abstract knowledge. If they see dad sitting in front of a chumash, in front of a gemara, in front of a mishnah, and they see that he is spending his time there, it's important for dad to do that. Then if it's important for dad to do that, it's important for me. My father, he should be well. I happened to speak to him tonight.
How's he doing?
Baruch Hashem, much, much better. We had a pidyon haben in the family last week, and they made the pidyon haben in the rehab where he was. And my father, Baruch Hashem, after a serious operation, was able to stand in front of the crowd for 6 minutes and give a whole speech over in his beautiful way of encouraging people to do the right things. And My father has no clue how much I do with him not realizing he taught me. He has no clue.
About what?
My father has no clue how many things I picked up from what he does without him teaching me by rote.
Well, you saw him do it.
Because I saw him do it. I live it, I do it, I breathe it, and I love it.
Can you give us an example? Can you give us an example?
How he makes brachas, how important brachas are to him, how he ties his tefillin, how he answers, for example, in Shemona Esrei, where you say, Yirecha Hashem v'yishmerecha, everyone says, Kein yiratzon. And my father whispers, B'schus Avram Avinu, Kein yiratzon. B'schus Yitzchak Avinu, Kein yiratzon. B'schus Yaakov Avinu. He doesn't know I repeat that. There's much that I've learned from my father. What I'm telling you, to be able to be a transmitter of Torah, to be a morasha of Torah, you have to be a possessor of Torah. And then you can inherit Torah to the next generation. And therefore, the Torah tells us over here that when we build the Oron, the Ark, for the Luchas, everyone has a chelik of Torah. No one should think that one is more than the other, and everybody is equal. But of course, like anyone who invests money, the more you invest, the more are the dividends. The more time you put into learning Torah, the greater the output, the greater is the interest for it. And therefore, as much as I am learning, and Baruch Hashem, I was zochet to be raised in a family where Torah is its prominent goal, I feel so lacking. Of course, I want to learn more, even though I'm busy teaching a good part of the day, and I feel so humbled by other people who I walk by in the yeshiva, and there you saw yeshiva, and I walk away humbled by the enormity of how much they know and how little I am, how little. But I feel I will try, I will grow, I'll do as much as I can. And maybe in my retirement, I will try to grab some more time. Steal some more time, if that's the way. There's a question, why did Hashem create Geneva, stealing? Everything has a purpose in this world. Why did Hashem create stealing? So I heard a beautiful explanation. Geneva, to steal in this world, was created for one purpose. To steal time for learning Torah. That's why Geneva was created. To find time, but people are using it for the wrong things. But that's why it was created. But getting back, I'm getting off the subject, and let's get back into the parsha.
How do you steal time, though? I don't get it.
You look for opportunities where learning is more important, and you take away from a show, from a movie, from an outing, from any other thing. You can take away if you want. It's in your hands and in your grasp to make a decision. So we just finished talking about right now about how important the Torah was, equal for everybody to take. And then the Torah continues telling us that there were rings. The rings held the badim. Let's look at Pasuk Tezvav. It says the ring betabos ha'aron. Okay, let's go back a pasuk. Pasuk Yudalid. Ve'heves es abadim betabos al tzalos ha'aron. You should bring the poles in the rings on the side of the aron. Lases es ha'aron behem, to carry the aron. Pasuk Tezvav. Betabos ha'aron. You habadim, in the rings of the Aron shall be the rods, the poles. Lo yosuri mimeno, they shall never be removed from them. Says the Meforshim, the Chofetz Chaim goes and elaborates. Why shall the poles never be removed? We find the poles from the Mizbeach are removed. The poles from the Shulchan are removed. Why were the poles from the Aron? Because the poles of the Aron symbolizes the balabatim, the laymen who don't have the time to learn Torah a whole day. They learn maybe a little bit of the day, but they support the Torah. And therefore, the support of the Torah is equal to the learning of the Torah. And by supporting of the Torah, even some can be teachers and some cannot. Some could be learners and some cannot. Everyone could learn something. But the person who supports the Torah should know that he is equal. Is equal to the learning of the Torah, and therefore the Torah is instructing us. It says openly in the Pasuk Tezvav, Lo Yasuru Mimenu. They shall never be removed from the Aron. Those who support Torah will forever be attached to the Aron, and in Shemayim, in heaven, they will be rewarded as if they learned Torah.
So yes. Does that mean that it's equally as valuable? That if, for example, you're a person who, you work, right, and you, it's very hard for you, for whatever reason, it's very hard for you to not be able to keep working and
right.
Increasing your financial
right.
Flexibility.
Right.
Is it equally, is it equal in the sense that taking the money you're making from
work yes.
and donating it or using it to help others learn Torah, like sponsor classes, sponsor schools, sponsor people, is it the same thing to sponsor them in learning than it is for you to have, you know, taken time away and not make that money to learn?
Well, the answer is that if you find that this is your capability, you have assessed your strength and your capabilities, and this is what you can do, so that means your tzedakah, your support, your sponsorship is equivalent to you learning, and that will guarantee you a portion of Torah in the world to come, and it's ill symbolized in the badim, in the poles, that the poles are never to be removed. And I've just seen for the first time mentioned by a great rabbi by the name of Rabbi Sadia Hagoyim that explained over here that the Jewish people cannot survive without Torah. If there's no Torah, then there's no Ummah. The Jewish people is identified by Torah. Without Torah, we're not a people. This is what identifies us. And the symbol of the badim, of the pole, is a symbol that just like you carry the Aron, who's going to be carried in Galus, wherever the Jewish people will be, the Aron will be. So it's symbolic that Torah will be wherever the Jewish people will be exiled. And therefore, not just will we get the reward for supporting the Torah as if we learned the Torah, but we are guaranteeing that the Torah will be wherever it'll be exiled. And since it's in exile where we're all over the world, and therefore the Torah will flourish because of our support wherever the Torah will be taught. And therefore it's encouraging to know how important this is, that the Jewish people are united with the Torah and the supporters. They're not separated. The supporters and the learners are together. They are united and they will be rewarded together. And we know the symbol of the Jew supporting Torah is the two close brothers of Yisachar and Zevulun. Yisachar and Zevulun are always together, because Yisachar was the learner and Zevulun was the supporter. Zevulun provided for Yisachar's livelihood, and Yisachar, when he learned, half of what he learned was given over, half of his learning went over to Zevulun. But don't make a mistake, Zevulun learned a few hours a day too, even though he was in business. But most of the learning ended up by Yisachar's side, but half of what Yisachar learned went to Zevulun. I know of a person who pays a very, very prominent rabbi his parnasa, his livelihood. so that he, who is a businessman, should get half of the reward of what he is learning, so that he becomes a Zevulun, and he becomes a Zevulun, and Yisachar will provide the Torah for him as well. It's a real true thing, and people do this. I just want to conclude by just mentioning a very famous Mishnah. Al Shalosh Devarim Ha'olam Omed, the world exists on three things: Al Torah, Al Avodah, Al Gemilas Chasadim. Let's continue to support Torah, to learn Torah, enjoy Torah, and to build Torah. Have a wonderful week.